Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, delivering programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. In this hour, sitcoms, later on, we hear Robert Young and Father Knows Best. But right now, it's Eve Arden as Our Miss Brooks, this popular high school comedy from CBS, heard on September 18th, 1955.
Now, Anacin, the tablets thousands of physicians and dentists recommend for fast relief of pain of headache, neuritis, neuralgia, and Bisodol mints that quickly rid stomach of gastric distress, present Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden. It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks Transcribed. Well, since school has been in session for 2 weeks now, Our Miss Brooks, who teaches English at Madison High, has practically forgotten about her summer vacation. I say practically because one reminder still reposes in her backyard, a small trailer which Miss Brooks and her landlady, Mrs. Davis, called home for a good part of the summer.
Mrs. Davis called it home. I called it the aluminum mousetrap. Anyway, now that the school season was on, Mrs. Davis was trying to sell it. She had put an ad in the paper early in the week, and by Friday morning at breakfast, I was naturally curious about the results. Any luck with Mousy, Mrs. Davis?
Not much so far, Connie. I've only had two prospects all week long, a man and a woman. The woman came on Tuesday and only took one quick glance inside the trailer.
What did she say?
Nothing. She just gave a little scream and left.
What an accurate description. What about the man?
Oh, he thought it was very nice.
Then why didn't he take it?
He said he already had one doghouse.
What did you say in your ad, Mrs. Davis?
Well, you can see for yourself, Connie. It's still in today's paper on the next to the last page.
Really? Well, let's have a look.
It's under trailers for sale.
Oh, thanks. I was looking under doghouses. Ah, here we are, trailers. No, your ad isn't in today.
Well, of course it is. It must be.
There's only one ad for a trailer for sale on this page, and that says, Magnificent, super deluxe, spacious trailer. Ideal for family of four. Buy this trailer and live on the road in complete comfort.
That's it, Tommy. That's the ad. Do you think I exaggerated?
Everywhere except in the last sentence. If a family of four bought Mousy, the only place they could live in complete comfort is on the road. Mrs. Davis, I'm surprised at you. A 10-by-7-foot trailer is hardly spacious. Your ad simply isn't fair, accurate, or honest.
Well, I guess I just got carried away. But if anyone phones me today, I'll tell them the complete truth. Absolutely everything.
Well, you better not make it everything. There's no use mentioning the fact that if anyone opens the closet door, the ironing board comes down and knocks them cold.
No, we'd never sell it if I mentioned that. How about the scalp wounds you got from the ceiling every time you straightened up?
Well, don't say anything about that either. Maybe we'll get a customer who's under 4'3".
Well, I certainly hope we can sell it, Connie. I could use my share of the $400 for repairs on this house.
Why? Is something wrong?
The pipes in the kitchen are in awful shape. The last few days, there's been more water on the floor than in the sink. And it's leaked into the dining room. The plumber's supposed to start working on it today, but I think we'll have to eat out in the trailer tonight.
Oh, that should be cozy. Well, I'd better get ready to go, Mrs. Davis. Walter Denton isn't calling for me this morning, and you know those buses.
Yes, of course, dear. And, Connie, I hope you won't mind having dinner in the trailer too much.
Not at all. I'll go to shop class first thing this morning and rehearse.
Rehearse?
Yes, I'll hit myself on the head with a hammer a few times.
The old wrist action's still there, Harriet. Certainly feels great to have a fishing rod in my hand once more.
Oh, I'm sure it does, Daddy, but I'd say a principal's office is hardly the place for a fishing rod, if anyone were to ask me.
Relax, no one's going to.
But what's it doing in here, Daddy?
It's waiting to go on a little fishing trip with me. This may be my last opportunity this year, Harriet, and I've heard of a wonderful lake about 100 miles from here. Real rugged territory. There are practically no cabins on it and no place open to tourists.
Then where are you going to sleep?
Well, I've got my own ideas about that. Has Miss Brooks come in yet?
I don't think so. I haven't seen her this morning. You know, Daddy, I've never seen you treat her as nicely as you have so far this term.
She's never had a trailer before this term. Well, why shouldn't I treat a deserving teacher nicely?
I get it. The only reason you're so
Harriet,
nice...
Harriet, you'll be late for class. Now run along.
Yeah, but Daddy, Oh, there's Miss Brooks coming up the walk now.
Where? Oh, yes, there's my pigeon. Miss Brooks. Now, if you'll excuse me, Harriet, I'd like to have a few words with her before classes begin.
Can't I even wait to say good morning to her?
You cannot. By the time you two get through saying good morning, it's time for lunch. Through my inner office, please, Harriet.
Yeah, but, Daddy...
Exit smiling, girl.
Oh, all right.
Yes, the old wrist action's still there. I walk slowly to the door. I should arrive there just in time to say, good morning, Miss Brooks.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Conklin. Catching much?
That's rich. If you'll step into my office, there's something I'd like to discuss with you.
Yes, sir.
Now, please, sit down. No. Not over there. Over here in the comfortable chair.
Huh? Oh, I forgot. This is a brand new type term.
Miss Brooks, I'll come directly to the point. The reason I have this fishing rod in my hand is because I intend to go fishing this weekend.
Sounds logical.
However, the lake in which I want to fish is quite a distance from here. A magnificent place, miles away from civilization. It's called Oo Mimi Tokaluti Gucci Mumu Lake.
Oo Mimi. I doubt if I can make it.
It's quite simple. Oo Mimi Tokaluti Gucci Mumu. It's an Indian name.
What does it mean?
Blue.
I'd hate to hear their name for purple.
They say that the fishing at Oo Mimi Tokaluti Gucci Mumu is the finest in the country. Very few people have found out about it so far.
Very few people could ask directions.
Yes. However, there are absolutely no tourist accommodations in the neighborhood, and that is where I thought you could help, Miss Brooks.
Me?
Yes, knowing you as I do, I felt confident that you would be more than happy to lend me your trailer for the weekend.
Oh, but it's Mrs. Davis's trailer, too, Mr. Conklin. And although I know she would cooperate, we just couldn't let you have it this weekend. I don't like to disappoint you, sir, so I won't. How would you like to have the trailer at your disposal every weekend from now on?
Every weekend? Miss Brooks, are you serious?
I have never been more so. All you have to do is buy it.
Buy it? Buy the trailer?
Did I say a naughty word? It's only $400.
Miss Brooks, I haven't the slightest need for a trailer except on rare occasions. Since this weekend is one of them, I should like to borrow the vehicle.
Well, sir, in that case, I can't possibly let you...
Don't give me your decision at once, Miss Brooks. Think it over for a while.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Conklin,
bearing in mind, of course, how pleasant your life here at Madison has been so far this term, and that as my subordinate, it is within my power to continue to help make it the pleasant thing it's been, or on the other hand...
What time would you like to pick it up?
I'll be over about 7:00. Now, I believe you have a class to make, Miss Brooks, so I won't keep you another minute.
Yes, sir. Goodbye, Mr. Conklin.
See you at 7, Miss Brooks.
See you at 7, Miss Brooks. What a dictator. But if he spends a weekend in our trailer, I'll be even with him.
Oh, Miss Brooks. Oh, there you are. I've been looking all over for you.
Good morning, Mr. Boynton.
Oh, here, let me carry your books for you, Miss Brooks.
Why, thank you. You know, you've been very considerate to me lately.
Well, I think friends should do things for one another, Miss Brooks. Don't you feel that way?
Absolutely. Here, let me carry your books for you.
that isn't quite what I had in mind, but there is a favor I have to ask of you. And because of the urgency of my problem, I'm going to need an answer immediately.
Immediately?
I hope you don't mind my pressing you.
Bribery will get you nowhere. Then what's the favor?
Well, my apartment house was sold last week, and the new owner needs my apartment for his family. So far, I haven't been able to find a place I can afford, and I have to move by tonight.
Oh, that's terrible.
I'd be satisfied with any sort of a small place to stay in for the weekend until I can find another apartment. I was wondering if you have any suggestions.
You bet I have. I know a place you can live in rent-free.
You do?
Sure. Why don't you buy our trailer?
Buy your trailer? Buy it?
I'd better watch my language. It's only $400, Mr. Boynton.
$400? How could I possibly get $400 in one lump?
Roll it together. But maybe it wouldn't have to be in one lump. Mrs. Davis and I would consider time payments.
No, thanks. I'm not in the market for a trailer, Miss Brooks. But if you could only let me stay in it for the weekend, I'd be indebted to you for life.
Well, I'd like to help you, but...
Oh, you can't let me down, Miss Brooks. You've just got to let me sleep in your backyard tonight.
Well, maybe I can work it out, Mr. Boynton. But there's one thing I think you should know.
Ooh, what's that?
You might go to sleep in my backyard, but there's a very good chance that you'll wake up in Ooh, Mimi, Tokaluti, Gucci, Moo Moo Lake. Well, having promised our trailer to both Mr. Conklin and Mr. Boynton for the weekend, I had to think of some way of breaking my promise to Mr. Conklin. I was too busy to think about it all morning, but at lunchtime, while I was sitting alone in the cafeteria pondering the problem, my reverie was interrupted by the dulcet tones of Walter Denton.
Salutations, most revered educator! First, I want to apologize because I couldn't drive you to school this morning.
Oh, that's all right.
No, I really felt terrible about it, Miss Brooks, because it's always such a great pleasure to serve you. Such a truly great pleasure.
Well, thank you, Walter.
Isn't there something I can do for you now? Anything at all? You just name it and I'll do it. Anything. Anything you want. Anything?
Down, boy. Down. Just what favor are you after, Walter?
Favor? From you? Miss Brooks, I'm chagrined. Well, how can you possibly look for hidden motives in one who is not only your greatest admirer and supporter, but one who...
No, you can't borrow my trailer for the weekend.
Well, fine friend you are. I wanted to use it as a dark room. But how'd you know that's what I was going to ask you?
Because two of my other greatest admirers and supporters, namely Mr. Conklin and Mr. Boynton, have already borrowed it for this weekend.
Mr. Conklin and Mr. Boynton, are they going someplace together?
It's beginning to look that way.
Hi, Miss Brooks. Hello, Walter.
Hello, Harriet.
I'm glad I found you, Miss Brooks. There's something I've been wanting to ask you.
The answer is no, but you can buy it if you want to.
What are you talking about, Miss Brooks? I was just going to ask you to call Mrs. Davis. She just phoned and said it's urgent that she speak with you.
Well, where was I when the call came in?
On your way up here, I guess. Why don't you do it right now? You can use the payphone on the wall. Got a dime?
I got a dime. Here, take this dime, please. Go ahead. I forgot. I can't have the trailer.
I have a dime. I owe the bus driver, but I have a dime. If you'll excuse me, I'll use it right away. I wonder what could be so urgent. Oh, well, I'll know in a minute. You and the night and the music fill me with flaming desire.
How nice of you to say so. Is that you, Henry?
No, Mrs. Davis, it's Connie Brooks. But who's Henry?
The butcher. He said he'd call for my order this morning.
Well, if that's the way he feels about you, why have our chops been so tough lately? Never mind, Mrs. Davis. What is it you wanted to talk to me about?
Talk to you about?
Yes, when you called me.
Now, isn't that funny? I could have sworn that you called me. Well, whoever called who, let's make our conversation brief. Our party line gets pretty busy this time of day, and I don't want to keep the phone occupied too long.
Well, you're certainly considerate, Mrs. Davis.
Oh, it isn't that, Connie. It's just that I find their conversation so much more interesting than mine.
Well, I'll try to be as entertaining as possible. Look, Mrs. Davis, you gave Harriet Conklin the message to have me call you at once. Now concentrate. What was it about? Your health? The house? The plumber? The trailer?
That's it, Connie. The trailer.
You haven't sold it, have you?
Not yet, dear, but practically. The man who phoned seemed very interested. He didn't balk at the price, but he wanted to see it before he bought it.
I knew there was a joker in the deal. When's he coming over?
At about 7 tonight.
At 7?
Yes. I asked him to join us for dinner in the trailer. Of course, I told him it was quite spacious, so I thought it would give him a greater illusion of roominess if only one of us had dinner with him. Or can you think of a better idea?
Not unless he goes in by himself and we toss his food to him through the window. Mrs. Davis, I'd better get busy. Mr. Conklin and Mr. Boynton were scheduled to be over here at 7, too.
Mr. Conklin and Mr. Boynton? You mean they thought they might buy our trailer?
Watch that word, Mrs. Davis. There are ladies present. I'll see you later, but right now I'd better say goodbye.
All right, dear. Go ahead.
Goodbye, Mrs. Davis.
Goodbye, Henry.
Now, that ought to confuse the party line.
What did Mrs. Davis want, Miss Brooks?
She's got a customer for our trailer, Walter. The only trouble is, he's due to arrive the same time as Mr. Conklin and Mr. Boynton, and you know the size of that trailer.
Oh, I certainly do. But I have biology class with Mr. Boynton this afternoon, so if you want, I'll tell him not to show up this evening.
Oh, I'd appreciate that, Walter.
And when I see Daddy, I'll tell him not to come either, Miss Brooks.
Thanks, Harriet. That'll take a big load off my mind. No disrespect intended. Now, there's just one more thing I should do to ensure the sale of our trailer.
What's that, Miss Brooks?
Get the customer not to show up. Well, since Mrs. Davis had invited a prospective buyer to have dinner with us in the aluminum cigar box that passes as a trailer, Mr. Boynton and Mr. Conklin had to make other plans for the weekend. Later that evening, as Mrs. Davis was cooking dinner in our trailer, I sat perfectly still so as not to crowd her. Mrs. Davis, you've been over that stove long enough. Now it's my turn to stand up.
No, you stay on the dinette seat a little while longer, Connie. There's just not enough room for the two of us to move around.
But I insist, Mrs. Davis, it's my turn to stand up.
Well, if that's the way you feel about it, come ahead.
Thanks. Like I say, it's my turn to sit down.
Oh, dear, did you hurt your head badly?
No worse than usual. Between the ceiling and this closet with a sneaky ironing board, I'm getting used to it.
Oh, I fixed that closet, Connie. Try it now.
All right.
I must have fixed something else. You'll find some gauze in the medicine cabinet I just put up.
Where? Oh, here. It's a very handy place for it. I'll get it. I'm standing right by the door, as who isn't? Mr. Boynton, what are you doing here? Didn't Walter Denton ask you not to show up this evening?
Well, no. I never got back to school this afternoon. I had so much packing to do, Mr. Conklin gave me the time off. I guess he took my classes himself.
Well, now that you're here, you might as well come in while I tell you why you have to leave right away.
Thanks. Oh, hello, Mrs. Davis.
Hello, Mr. Boynton. It's a shame you have to be running along so soon.
You see, Mr. Boynton, we've got a prospective buyer for the trailer, and he's due here in about 5 minutes. I rushed right back to help Mrs. Davis get the trailer in shape.
Oh, I see.
The ad said this was quite a spacious trailer, so we wanted to show it to him under the best possible circumstances, which is empty, or as empty as possible.
It is quite tiny, isn't it? We're in pretty close quarters right now.
Yes, it has got its advantages.
Well, I'd better be going. I'm afraid I'm making you and Mrs. Davis uncomfortable.
Oh, you can stay a little while longer, Mr. Boynton. We're not a bit uncomfortable, are we, Mrs. Davis? Mrs. Davis, where are you?
Under the dinette table, dear. I'm afraid it might be a little crowded with the three of us standing.
Oh, don't be silly, Mrs. Davis. Please get up. There, it isn't too crowded at all.
Well, we're almost cheek to cheek, Miss Brooks.
I know. One more person in here and we'd be over the top. You're not really uncomfortable, are you, Mr. Boynton?
Uncomfortable? Well, I must confess I'm a bit warm.
Why, Mr. Boynton.
Maybe he's sitting on the stove.
Don't be a killjoy.
I'd better be going, Miss Brooks. Your customer should be here any minute.
Or even sooner. Mr. Conklin, What are you doing here?
What am I doing here? I'm going fishing. That's what I'm doing here. Oh, hello, Margaret. And Boynton, what are you doing here?
What am I doing here?
He was just leaving. That's what he's doing here. But, Mr. Conklin, didn't Harriet give you my message asking you to cancel your visit?
I got no message of any kind. Right after school, I locked myself in my workroom and spent the afternoon tying flies.
Well, if you can't beat them, tie them.
Well, you see, Osgood, we're expecting a prospective buyer.
I don't care who you're expecting. I've made arrangements to go fishing, and I'm staying in this trailer for the weekend. Now, where can I put this fishing gear?
Well, there's a closet at your elbow, sir.
No, Mr. Conklin, you better not try
to... I said I was staying, Miss Brooks. I'll just open this closet.
No!
Well, it looks like he's staying, all right. I only wish that... I'll get it. Why, Harriet.
Hi, Miss Brooks.
Might as well come aboard, Harriet. All right, everybody, inhale.
Miss Brooks, I just came over to tell you that I missed Daddy today at school, so I couldn't give him your message. By the time I got home, he wasn't there either. Now I don't know where he is.
You're standing on him.
please take your foot away.
Why, Daddy, what are you doing down there?
I was viciously attacked from behind.
By a sneaky ironing board. But I'm glad you're with us again, sir. Here, let me help you up. Well, are we all nicely wedged in again?
Miss Brooks, I insist that you get everyone out of here so I can be on my way.
Oh, we'll discuss it in a moment, sir. Just as soon as I see who this is.
Hello, Miss Brooks. I came over to tell you I missed Mr. Boynton today. I just couldn't seem to find him anywhere.
Step back, Walter. Your breath is taking the starch out of his collar. Come on in.
I'm trying to.
Here, let me help you, Walter.
Yeah.
Come on, everybody. Give a little. What was that?
My suspenders just went.
Mr. Conklin, I said give a little, not all. Well, don't worry, sir. With this crowd, your trousers will never make it to the floor. Are you in yet, Walter?
Yeah, I'm getting there. Yeah, I'm in.
I'm out.
Harriet, pull Mr. Boynton back in. Atta girl. Now, is everyone all right? I think we'd better call the roll just to make sure. Mr. Conklin, where are you?
Wedged in tight between my daughter and Mrs. Davis.
Walter?
I'm wedged in next to Harriet, too, Miss Brooks.
Oh, shut up!
Mrs. Davis?
I'm stuck next to Mr. Boynton.
Stuck, she says. How about you, Mr. Boynton? Now, how did you get your neck caught under my arm? Oh, well. This must be our customer. Now, let's not get panicky.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir. Are you the man Mrs. Davis spoke to on the phone?
Yes, I am.
Well, won't you come in?
You're kidding, of course.
I guess it does appear a bit crowded to you.
A wee bit, yes. It's sort of like opening a can of sardines and finding five or six live ones inside.
Yes. Well, I suppose you'd like to speak to Mrs. Davis.
I would indeed.
I'm Mrs. Davis.
Where?
Right here. Right here on Mr. Boynton's arm. Bend over, Mr. Boynton, and let me have a look at him.
Certainly, Mrs. Davis.
Oh, there you are, Mrs. Davis.
No, you're looking at Walter Denton. Mrs. Davis is under his other arm.
Oh, of course.
Let me show you some of the trailer's features, sir. For instance, right over there are the stove and icebox.
Where?
Harriet Conklin is in front of them. Then her father, Mr. Conklin, is in front of the bed. And Mr. Boynton is in front of the bathroom. Neat, isn't it?
Oh, yes, indeed. Everybody in here looks very livable. But I don't know why you're telling me all this.
Why we're telling you? Well, you're interested, aren't you?
I'm fascinated. Things like this don't happen to a plumber every day.
Plumber?
Well, yes, ma'am. I came here to report on the kitchen pipes.
Did you take a look at them?
Every one of them. All over the yard.
All over the yard?
What is all this anyway?
Well, he's a red one, isn't he? Well, you see, Mrs. Davis, the pressure in one of the pipes behind your stove became too great and blew the wall right off your service porch.
Why, that's terrible.
Oh, it certainly is. And it's been happening to me with alarming frequency lately. Almost every time I work around a stove, a wall blows out. Well, there's nothing more I can do tonight.
Oh, yes, there is. How would you like to make $10 right now?
$10? How?
Do a little work on the stove in this trailer.
Armis Brooks, starring Eve Arden, Grant Squad, is produced and directed by Larry Byrne. Written by Arthur Oldsberg and Al Lewis with the music of Wilbur Hatch. Mr. Conklin was played by Gail Gordon. Others in tonight's cast were Jane Morgan, Dick Crenna, Bob Rockwell, Gloria McMillan, and Joel Samuels. Be sure to be with us next week for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Our Miss Brooks, on Tuned to Yesterday from September 18, 1955 on CBS, one of the last broadcasts of that long-running CBS series. It's an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now Father Knows Best is on the air about 4 years before its television debut, with Robert Young starring as Jim Anderson. This broadcast called The Bad Barbecue, from November 9, 1950 on NBC.
Is Maxwell House really the only coffee in the world?
Well, your father says so, and your father knows best.
It's Father Knows Best, transcribed in Hollywood, starring Robert Young as Father. A half-hour visit with your neighbors, the Andersons. Brought to you by America's favorite coffee, Maxwell House. The coffee that's always good to the last drop. It was Byron who said, "All history attests that happiness for man, the hungry sinner, since Eve ate apples, much depends on dinner." Well, if you were making plans for a dinner party, you'd probably start with a fruit cocktail or canapés or oysters on the half shell, something like that. In Springfield, however, in the white frame house on Maple Street, they do things in a much more logical way. When Jim Anderson plans a dinner, he starts in a basic, concrete manner, like this.
All right, Bud, let me have the cement.
Here you are, Dad.
Thank you. Now, wait a minute. You didn't use the whole sack.
Didn't you want me to?
Bud, that's enough cement to build a second boulder dam.
Well, gosh, I didn't know. You just said to mix
it. We're building a barbecue pit, not another porch for the White House.
Jim, I told you in the very beginning...
Honey, I know you don't approve, but I guarantee that when I get through, we'll have the finest brick barbecue in Springfield.
Gorman's had a sale of portable barbecues, and there was no reason...
That's the trouble with this family. They're always buying things. Wouldn't you much rather use something you'd built yourself?
Not if someone else can build it better.
Margaret, why do you assume that someone else can build a barbecue better than I can?
Because you've built a barbecue.
What was wrong with it?
It fell apart.
Well, there was a reason for that. I didn't have the proper material. They sold me... stale cement, that's all.
Daddy, I've got the bricks all piled up like you told me.
Oh, that's fine, Kathy.
Now what do you want me to do?
Well, how would you like to go inside and do your homework?
But I want to help.
I'll go inside and do my homework.
You stay where you are. We've got to get this thing built in a hurry, and it's going to take both of us to do it.
He always gets to help you, because he's a boy, and you love him more than you love me.
I do not, Kathy.
Then why can't I help you?
Because I... Oh, here, you take the magazine with the instructions and read them off to us. How'll that be?
Is that important?
Of course it's important. It's probably the most important part of the whole job.
Why can't I help Bud stir up the goop?
Because the goop is all stirred up. Now, do you want to read the instructions, or would you prefer to go inside and do your homework?
I'll read the instructions, Daddy.
All right.
Jim.
1 second, honey. We've got to get this thing going before the cement hardens. What does it say, Kathy?
Mix 2 parts of cement, 1 part
hydrated.
Lime. 9 parts grated sand.
We've already mixed the cement, Kathy. What comes next?
That's all it says.
It's on the next page, Dopey.
Oh.
Bud, that's no way to speak to your sister.
Well, good grief. If she doesn't know enough to turn a page.
Here it is.
Well, what does it say?
Continued from page 72.
Well, that's nice. What else does it say?
After building concrete slab to desired size for base...
What do you have to do that for?
The slab, Bud, is to hold the ashes when they drop through.
Why can't they just fall on the ground?
Because it isn't that kind of a barbecue.
Joe Phillips and his father built a barbecue, and they didn't put a slab on the bottom.
Well, they were too lazy to do it properly. Now make a slab for the base, and let's not have any more arguments.
What are you going to do?
I have to speak to your mother. Well, go ahead.
Holy cow.
I'll help you, Bud.
What were you saying, dear?
Oh, I was just wondering why we needed a barbecue at this particular time, that's all.
I explained the whole thing to you less than 10 minutes ago. Phil Buckley and his wife are going to be in Springfield.
And you've invited them to dinner. I understand that, Jim, but...
Margaret, they live in an apartment in New York. How often do you suppose they get to eat charcoal broiled steaks grilled over an open fire? How often do they have a chance to eat out of doors with the sky for a roof and the green grass for a carpet?
How often do you suppose they can get pneumonia? This is November, Jim. It's cold.
What's that got to do with it?
This is not the sky for a roof and green grass season.
I promised Phil Buckley barbecued steaks, and when I make a promise...
Yes?
You don't suppose they'd rather eat indoors, do you?
Not unless they're normal human beings.
Well, that's all right, then. Nobody ever accused a district supervisor of being either normal or human.
Well, how about Mrs. Buckley?
Well, anybody who can be happily married to a stuffed shirt like Phil Buckley won't know the difference.
Jim?
Well, Buckley keeps telling me what an outdoor man he is. Sits in a duck blind all winter. Fishes with the icy spray bouncing over the poop deck. Or wherever it bounces. He'd probably be insulted if we even mentioned going indoors.
Of course, the steaks do seem to taste better outside.
You bet they do. The smell of charcoal smoke, steaks sizzling on the grill. Bud, haven't you finished that slab yet?
I'm just smoothing it out, Dad.
Well, that's smooth enough. Now, there you see, Bud, it wasn't any trouble at all. What's next, Kathy?
Lay 3 rows of bricks, building up the corners first.
Okay, nothing very complicated about that.
If you lay the bricks all the way around, how do you get the ashes out?
But this is a very reliable magazine, and if they say to put the bricks all around, you put them all around.
Maybe they send a man out for the ashes, huh?
That's not very funny.
I wasn't trying to be funny, Dad, but if you put the bricks all around...
You start with that corner, and I'll start with this corner.
And when you get to Scotland, give my regards to Loch Lomond.
My, but you're in a gay mood, aren't you?
What's Loch Lomond, Daddy?
Never mind. Just concentrate on the instructions. Now, what comes next?
Use a plumb level and a 4-foot straight edge of wood to keep ends plumb. What's that?
Well, we'll skip that part. We don't have to be too technical about it, do we, Bud?
The Phillips built theirs without a magazine, and they can take the ashes out.
Bud,
hmm?
I ask you something.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dad. I guess I wasn't listening.
Well?
Well, what?
Your father wasn't listening either.
Now, look here, Margaret.
You said Dewey, Daddy.
Oh, of course, that's what I said. Well, Bud, Dewey?
Dewey what?
Hand me a few bricks, Kathy, please.
Hey, where is everybody?
We're in the backyard, Betty.
Dad, if the ashes fall down and you've got bricks all around the bottom...
The magazine says 3 rows of bricks, and that's what we put in. Unless you think you know more about it than they do.
I didn't say that, Dad.
What's going on out here?
We're building a barbecue.
What for?
Cat's fur to make kitten britches.
What?
I'm all through with my side, Dad. Want me to help you with yours?
Never mind. I'll have it finished in 2 seconds.
Mother.
Yes, dear.
Why the barbecue all of a sudden?
Well, Mr. Buckley and his wife are coming to dinner on Saturday, and your father promised them...
Saturday?
Now what's the matter?
Father, you can't have anybody for dinner on Saturday.
Oh, I can't I?
Mother, that's homecoming day.
Oh, dear, I forgot all about it.
About what?
I'm giving a party on Saturday after the football game.
Well, this is a fine time to tell me.
I did tell you, Father. You even suggested the chili and beans dinner.
Is that this Saturday?
30 people, and you have to pick that day for a barbecue.
Betty, your father didn't do it deliberately.
This is business, Betty. I didn't know Mr. Buckley was coming, but he is, and there isn't anything I can do about it.
I'm ruined. My whole life is a shambles.
Betty, there's no need to be upset.
Of course not. We'll have both parties, that's all. You have yours indoors, and we'll have ours outdoors. Now, what's wrong with that?
Oh, nothing. As long as you keep Kathy outdoors with you.
Now, just a minute, Betty. The Buckleys... there's no reason why Kathy can't stay inside.
Father, she'll ruin everything. You know how she is.
I didn't do anything.
Margaret, will you please explain to her...
This is the most important party of my life, and you want her to spoil it.
Betty, Mr. Buckley is a very important man.
And he wears stuffed shirts.
Kathy!
Margaret, no matter what happens, no matter what Betty says, Kathy's not going to stay outside with us.
Mother, please, you know what she did last time. She started a football game in the living room.
Well, nobody broke anything, did they?
None of the girls talked to me for a week. Father, if you only knew...
Betty, I think I can fix the whole thing.
You do?
Jim and Lucille Hathaway are going on a picnic next Saturday, and I know they'll be glad to take Kathy with them. Would you like that, dear?
Gee, that'd be keen. Oh.
Well, that's a very sensible solution.
I'll fix a little lunch for Kathy and Bud.
Wait a minute. How did I get into this?
Bud.
I don't want to go on a picnic. I've got a date with Joe Phillips.
Bud, you'll go along and take care of your sister.
But why should I suffer just because she's a pest?
I'm not a pest.
You certainly are.
I certainly aren't.
Bud.
I wasn't doing anything to anybody. I was standing here not hurting a soul.
Bud. We won't discuss it anymore.
But, Dad...
You'll spend the day with the Hathaways, and you'll have a very good time.
Holy cow.
Well, that's settled. Now let's get back to the barbecue. What comes next, Kathy?
Oh, after the mortar has hardened, fill with water to the first line of bricks.
Well, that shouldn't be too... What?
Why do you need water in a barbecue?
Kathy, give me that magazine.
I just read what it said, Daddy. See?
Oh, no.
What's the matter, Dad?
Kathy, you... You...
I didn't do anything.
Jim, what is it? What did she do?
She turned two pages. That's what she did. Do you know what we've built? A bird bath.
It's Saturday in Springfield, and there's great activity at the Andersons. Indoors, Betty's party is proceeding at a great rate. Outdoors, well, outdoors, things aren't going as well as they might, like this.
Ah, the outdoor life, Mrs. Buckley, that's the thing. Living in the open, close to nature.
We're very happy with our apartment.
Yes, it has steam heat.
Jim was telling me that you have some wonderful plans for the future, Mr. Buckley.
Right now, I'm beginning to doubt that there is any future.
Yes, sir, this is the sort of thing you New Yorkers miss. The peace and quiet of a small community. A chance to look at the blue sky and the green grass. The simple life.
There is nothing in the world more complicated than the simple life. And what happened to those steaks you were talking about?
Oh, they're right here, Phil. Another few minutes, I'll have these coals just the way I want.
You know, Jim, this barbecue of yours has given me an idea, a great idea.
Philip gets ideas from the strangest things.
So I've been told.
Margaret, what were you saying, Phil?
This is a whole new approach to the family angle of insurance protection. Modernization, that's the ticket.
Well, I wouldn't say that this was the most modern barbecue in the world.
That's what I mean. Why buy an old-fashioned policy? Why cook the way the caveman did when they've invented stoves? You follow me?
Phil, you can't get the charcoal flavor in a stove. It's the... It's the smoke that makes the difference.
Jim is testing it now for the proper consistency.
It certainly looks thick enough.
I don't know what's gotten into this fire. Should have been ready an hour ago.
Well, stop poking at it. You've put it out twice now.
Would you care for another blanket, Mr. Buckley?
Oh, no, thank you. Right now, I'm interested in food.
You might not believe this, Phil, but Bud and I built this barbecue with our own hands.
I can believe it very easily. It's the weirdest looking contraption I've ever seen.
Philip likes everything to be efficient. Don't you, Philip?
Mm. Is the smoke annoying you, Mrs. Buckley?
Oh, no. It seems to make things a little... warmer.
I think we're just about ready, Phil.
Good. I was beginning to wonder whether you'd build a barbecue or... or a smudge pot.
Yes, sir. In 10 minutes, you'll be digging into the greatest steak you've ever eaten.
10 minutes, I'll be ready to take a bite out of a passing cow.
Well, here we go. And when these steaks hit the grill, just listen to them sizzle. I tell you, Phil, there's nothing like it. There. Now they'll crackle and pop and sputter, fill the air with the most magnificent aroma.
When?
That's funny. They always have before.
Jim, don't you think we ought to take them inside?
I'll get it going in just a minute, honey.
Let me take a look at that fire, Jim.
Philip, you're getting all uncovered. You'll catch your death of cold.
Oh.
It's going to be all right, Phil.
It's just like sitting in an icebox. That's what it is. Jim, where are you?
Right over here, Phil.
Barbecue. You ought to sell the confounded thing to the government as a secret weapon.
Please don't get too close to it.
Close? I can't even find the thing.
Jim, there's a perfectly good stove in the kitchen.
Oh, there you are.
Looks like the draft isn't operating quite the way it should. Maybe if I poke the fire a little more?
No, leave it alone. How do you expect it to get well if you keep picking at it?
Why, those children certainly seem to be having a nice time indoors.
Jim...
Just a minute, honey. I think I know what's wrong. You know, Phil, I think if we could just raise the fire a little...
Would you like me to get under it and push?
No, but I was just...
Ye gods, man, those steaks aren't even warm. Why don't you lower the grill?
Well, you see, we had to build it in a hurry.
It was a birdbath first.
Margaret. We had some technical problems to overcome, and we had to take a few little shortcuts.
So?
Well, that's the only place the grill goes. But if we can raise the fire a little...
Why don't we just hold some matches under the stakes?
Jim, I think this has gone quite far enough.
Honey, if you'll just give me a few more minutes...
Are you going to take the stakes inside, or shall I?
Why don't we all go inside?
No, you'd better stay right here, Phil. All those kids running around, they'd trample all over you.
Well, that would be quicker than dying of cold and starvation.
Put your blankets back on, Philip.
Jim.
I'll take the steaks inside. I'll have them cooked in 2 minutes.
Well, please hurry, dear.
And you stay right where you are and enjoy yourselves.
The simple life. Ha. When I get home, I'm going to kiss every stone on Fifth Avenue.
Try to do something unusual, and what thanks do you get? Put matches under the steaks, he tells me. Big outdoor man. Shoots ducks in the middle of the winter. Probably never saw a duck in his whole life. Oh, Betty, can I speak to you for a minute?
Isn't this a wonderful party, Father? How's yours going?
Fine, Betty, just fine.
Hi, Mr. Anderson.
Oh, hello, Tommy. Having a good time?
Great. Say, Betty, the gang needs some more chili and beans.
Well, there's lots of it on the stove. Grab a pot.
Okay. See you around the drugstore, Mr. Anderson.
Yes, I'll see you around the drugstore.
Isn't he a goon, Father?
Yes, he certainly is. Betty,
Yes, Father?
I know I promised to keep the Buckleys outside, but we're freezing to death.
Father.
The barbecue doesn't work. The steaks won't cook. You've got to let us come in, that's all.
Father, you're going to ruin everything.
Everything is ruined. I'll be lucky if I don't get fired.
Father, if you'll just wait another few hours...
We'll be dead in another few hours. Look, just get all of those things out of the oven. Let me cook the steaks, and we'll discuss the rest of it later.
But you can't take the biscuits out of the oven. They'll be ice cold.
Well, we're ice cold. Why should they be any better?
Father.
Daddy!
Oh, no.
They came back. They're not supposed to, and they came back.
Hiya, Dad. What's cooking?
Very little, believe me. What are you doing here?
We live here.
You weren't supposed to be home for 3 hours. What happened to the picnic?
Mr. Hathaway said it was too cold for a picnic. What are you doing with the steaks?
Father, if she goes anywhere near the living room and says anything about a football game...
I hid the football, so stop worrying about it. Let me get at the stove.
Why don't you use the barbecue, Dad?
Why don't you take Kathy to the movies?
Go ahead, Bud. You heard what he said.
We haven't had our dinner yet.
We can eat popcorn, Bud. Come on.
I haven't had anything to eat since 1 o'clock.
What happened to the picnic lunch?
We ate that on the way over.
Bud.
Jim.
Mommy, we're back.
It's the most ridiculous thing that's ever happened in my whole life.
Margaret, I was just starting to cook the steaks.
Mother, it isn't time for you to come in.
It most certainly is. It's raining.
Well, outside of an earthquake, what else can happen?
Now, see here, Jim. I've stood just about... What's that?
What?
On the stove. What is it?
Oh, chili and beans, Phil. But if you'll be patient for just another few minutes...
Chili? Did you hear that, Isabel? Chili.
Doesn't it smell wonderful? You mean you like chili? All the time Philip was courting me, we never ate anything else.
Chili and beans and chopped onions. I haven't had anything like that since... Oh, grab a plate, Isabel.
I already have.
Phil, I've got all these steaks.
You can take the steaks and stuff them back in the refrigerator.
Dad.
What is it, Bud?
I'll eat a steak.
Grab some of this chili, Bud. It's terrific.
I made it, Mr. Buckley, all by myself.
Betty, if I were 2 years younger, I'd marry you.
Don't listen to him, Betty. He tells that to all the girls.
Can I have some chili?
I'll have a steak ready in 5 minutes, Kathy.
I don't want a steak. I want some chili.
Kathy, I don't think you should...
Oh, a little chili isn't going to hurt her, Margaret. You don't mind if I call you Margaret, do you?
Why, no.
Hey, Betty, hurry up. We're waiting for you.
Oh, just a minute, Tommy.
They're going to do Birdie in a Cage.
Oh, I'll be right there.
Wait a minute. You mean you're going to square dance?
Philip, that's just for the young people.
Well, we're young people. Come on.
But I haven't finished my chili.
Bring it along. Come on, Isabel.
I'm sorry, Margaret, but he's so impetuous.
Betty, you're holding up the whole works.
You want me to carry your plate, Mrs. Buckley?
I can manage it, dear.
May I come too, Betty?
Oh, sure. Come on. We'll be back later.
Well,
Dad,
there's a great thing. $9.60 for steak. And they want chili.
Dad.
So help me, Margaret. This is the last time I try to do anything. For anybody.
Dad.
What do you want, Bud?
I'll eat a steak.
Thank you very much.
I mean, if it'll help you out any.
Oh. All right, Bud, go ahead. Eat all of them.
All of them? Holy cow.
Where are you going?
To get Joe Phillips. I'm going to need help.
Bud!
Jim?
Yes, Margaret?
While we were waiting for you outside, I had a long talk with the Buckleys.
Good for you.
Do you know why Mrs. Buckley made this trip to Springfield?
At this stage, I don't know anything.
Well, Mr. Buckley had told her so much about our children that she wanted to meet them.
She did?
They weren't interested in barbecues and steaks. They wanted to spend the day with Kathy and Betty and Bud.
Well, how was I supposed to know? They don't look like the sort of people who like children.
But they do, Jim. They like them very much. They like us all very much.
Well, what's so funny?
Just something Mrs. Buckley said.
Well, all right. Go ahead. Drop the other shoe. What did she say?
Now, you won't be angry.
Of course not. What did she say?
Well, she said that Mr. Buckley had a great deal of respect for your business ability.
Yes?
And isn't it too bad you're such a stuffed shirt?
Now it's Sunday in Springfield, and in the Anderson backyard, Jim, he's the stubborn Rover boy, is still determined to make the barbecue work like this.
There, you see? Nothing wrong with it now, is there?
No, dear.
Weren't the Buckleys fun, Mother?
Boy, could he square dance.
How do you suppose he learned a new thing like square dancing?
Look at those hamburgers cooked, Margaret. I ask you, isn't that beautiful?
Yes, dear, just beautiful.
I can't figure out what got into the darn thing yesterday. Well, it's like a new baby, I guess. Invite a bunch of people over to see it, and what happens? Probably cries for the first time in his whole life. Know what I mean?
Yes, I know what you mean.
Now you take last night. Smoked like a chimney and... Probably won't smoke again as long as we have it.
But
I've got the plate, Mom.
Just one of those things. Won't happen again in a million years.
Go ahead, Bud.
Where are you taking the hamburgers?
Into the kitchen where they belong.
Wait a minute, Margaret. There's nothing wrong with a barbecue. It's just that...
What was that, dear?
I said... Never mind.
Join us again next week when we'll be back with Father Knows Best, starring Robert Young as Jim Anderson, with Roy Bargy and the Maxwell House Orchestra, and yours truly, Bill Forman. So until next Thursday, good night and good luck from the makers of Maxwell House, America's favorite brand of coffee. Always good to the last drop.
Father Knows Best, on Tuned to Yesterday from November 9th, 1950, on NBC, the same year that star Robert Young was appearing in the film noir motion picture The Second Woman alongside Betsy Drake. And that brings to a close this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVanier. Thanks for tuning in.